We're live.
There we go.
Bacon Smiles Podcast, episode 54. Yeah, we've done a lot of these. As always, I'm Steve Patera, joined by my good friend
Evan Schaumhofer.
Yes. All right. Excited. It has been a month since we talked last.
A lot has happened, I feel, too, in the past month.
Yes. It's pretty crazy that it took us this long to kind of find a mutual date that would work with us. We've been busy. I did another Dave retreat up in Vermont. This time, our good friend Brett came with me. He's my daughter's godfather, so it was cool for him to come up with me. Even so, we stayed home, but we'll talk about that too. We're about to start a new year of confirmation.
Yeah, it's coming fast.
My second year at Sacred Heart. So yeah, lots to do, lots to plan, lots to get moving. And then you went to Soul Fest.
Yeah, just came back.
Yeah, and this past weekend I did movie night at Sacred Heart.
Very cool.
So we'll talk about that a little bit too. And then you got stuff in music. And our gospel of the day is John 12, 24 through 26. And our saint of the day is Saint Desduit. I think that's how you say it, but I could be wrong.
Sounds good to me. Just say it quick.
With confidence.
Yeah. When in doubt, just say it fast and with confidence.
Then you got news of the weird.
Absolutely.
All right. Awesome. So, yeah, it's been almost exactly 1 month. Yeah. July 11th was the last time we recorded a podcast. So sorry, everybody. But we just had a lot going on. I had some time away in Vermont, and then Soul Fest, and this past weekend I had like movie night and stuff. So yeah, we had a lot going on. So the group that I went up to Vermont for was actually from Norwalk, Connecticut. They have a new youth minister that I got to meet up there, and it's great. The program is one of the like a long running program, a couple different youth ministers along the way, but it's strong. It's a youth oriented parish. We're just very supportive of their youth ministry. And so Dave has a really strong connection where there were the first group to come up after the fire to help rebuild his house. So it's cool to see that like longevity and everything with that program. And the group that came up, because it's like a peer ministry training, a strong group. They really like participated and did well, and it was really cool. But the most awesome thing to me was Brett coming up, and he's an amazing young man who is discerning religious life, more than likely going to become a religious brother, just trying to figure out which order he feels more called to, and he's got, you know, some health stuff that he's just got to figure out. And so just to see him interact with a group that he has no connection to, like he had no real built-in credibility. And so I remember when I was there a few years ago, like probably about 4 years ago now, when I went up to Dave's without any credibility. Like I had always done St. Bart's, now St. Teresa of Calcutta, and had that built-in credibility where everyone kind of knew who I was. And, you know, word had kind of, you know, you get the peer ministers that kind of pass down like, oh, Steve, he's a fun guy, does all this stuff, and, you know, his story is great and all this stuff. But then what you run into when you're with a new group, it's like, they don't know who I am. I get that moment where it's like, is the stuff that I normally do going to work? Or are people at St. Bart's really just polite to me? You know?
Right.
But yeah, it was just really cool because I got to see what it was like for him to have that same moment. And he did awesome. Like he shared, you know, running games, and shared some peer ministry skills and lessons, like kind of like, here's how you do this. And he put together like a really good workshop as far as one of the sessions that we did, because they were there from Sunday to Tuesday night. You know, so that's a lot of sessions and a lot of stuff to get in there. And there's a couple of times where Dave had some appointments he had to go to. So it was literally just Brett and I running the things. And it went really well. The group was really happy. They had a priest come up. So we actually had a morning mass up there, which is really awesome. You know, I got to get in a confession, which is really cool. I like any time a group brings up a priest, because I like have that opportunity to go to confession with, you know, priest that I don't know. Well, I know Father Sadir. He's actually really, really awesome because I've done retreats for this group before. So,
yeah.
But that being said, I always enjoy. They did perpetual adoration from Monday night into Tuesday morning, and then that was followed by Mass on Tuesday morning. So it was really cool to have. Brett and I got up at like 4 a.m. and did 4 to 5, but then the youth minister came in for 5 to 6, and I didn't want her to be by herself, so I did 5 to 6 as well, just to try to make sure that if a kid came down and wanted to do perpetual adoration, it wasn't just a single adult and a single teenager. You gotta stay within the rules. Right. So I ended up staying from 4 to 6 and then just staying up. So I only got like 2 hours of sleep that night, but it's worth it because I got to spend time with Jesus. Like, you know, that's awesome.
You feel so charged up by the end of the day.
You're ready to go.
Might be a little tired, but at the same time, you're so pumped.
So when we got when I got home, I dropped Brett off at his house. When we got home, I was so tired, so exhausted, but I still got to see Zoe for a little bit. Actually, yeah, I think she might have been asleep already, but I got to see Eva for a little bit. But I slept like that next day. I took like a nap and slept for like 4 hours.
Wow.
So I slept like that night, like a nice solid night's sleep, and then still had to take a nap the next day. I'm getting too old for all-nighters. but it was a really awesome experience because of the group and the fact that they wanted to do perpetual adoration. It's just awesome. You know, get some young people wanting and craving that time to be with Christ. It's just really, really cool.
Yeah.
You know? So there was that. And then when I got home, I kind of had to like quickly prep because last Saturday I had my movie night.
Mm-hmm.
And the movie I chose, which anyone who follows me on Instagram or Facebook saw it, Princess Bride, which is really cool. That whole day, actually 2 days leading up to that, I was struggling. I personally own a 120-inch portable screen. I cannot find it. I must have let someone borrow it.
Maybe.
So anyone out there who's listening, if you have my screen, I want it back. I've used it a few times. I used it at St. Bart's once for a movie night. I used it at Meet and Greet, I think, twice. I've had it for like 6 years, and I cannot find it. I cleaned out my entire garage. I dug through my whole basement. I can't find it. So either like it's at storage at St. Teresa's, and I asked Steve, and he said he'd look for it and let me know. But, I can't find it. It's driving me crazy. So I ended up having to make something work where we had this big piece of fabric up on the wall inside the hall. I was going to do it outside because I really like doing outdoor movie, but it was so gross on Saturday night.
Yeah.
It rained all of Saturday morning, and it was still so humid on Saturday night, and I was like, this is just not going to be a pleasant experience for people. So did it in the parish hall. It went well. A few young people showed up, and their family showed up. I have the little popcorn maker, so made, you know, fresh popcorn, you know, normal, like, movie-style popcorn, and had a bunch of snacks and cookies and sodas and everything like that. And one of the parents who volunteers at Sacred Heart was like, this is, like, my favorite movie. I'm really glad you chose this movie. And it was so funny because, like, the young people were into it. Like, one of the high school sophomores, he was like, oh, I love this movie. This is the movie where he does this and this and this, and that, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, like, what? And, but it was so funny because all of a sudden you'd hear, like, the group of parents laughing before something actually happens because it's that good of a movie.
Right.
If you haven't seen Princess Bride or it's been a really long time, you should watch it again. It's so funny. And it's just, it holds up. It really, really does. It's such a good movie. It had been a few years since I had seen it. And it's just, it just really, really holds up. And I was happy with... You know, it's the first time we've done it at Sacred Heart. I was happy that, you know, it went off without too many problems.
Right.
still in my head that I can't find my screen. I'm telling you, like it's yeah. eating me alive that I can't find it. So again, if someone out there has my screen, I would like it back. But yeah, so while I was doing movie night, you were at Soulfest.
Yeah, where I saw your Instagram post. last year what we ended up doing was we went up Wednesday night, and Linda has been very gracious and let us stay at her cottage up in New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm.
But we found out that by heading up Wednesday night, unpacking our stuff, just having a good night to just kind of relax and crash, then Thursday we're all relaxed and ready to go.
Yeah.
And then we go Thursday through Sunday, head back Sunday afternoon. And so that's what we did this year. And this year my sister came again. We brought our friend Jackie from St. Bart's, just graduated high school. And so it was the four of us. Jen came along and had a great time. It was very hot and humid the first day on Thursday, and then it rained for a good chunk of the weekend. So there were a few times where they evacuated us to shelter, but a lot of the performances still happened. Some of the sets were consolidated, which I kind of like. I like when sets are smaller.
When they have to shorten them.
Right, because then they make their songs tighter, and they put out their best stuff, where sometimes... Yeah. There was one guy who had, like, maybe three songs that were on the radio, and they gave him, like, an hour and 15 minutes.
Wow.
Which is a lot. You know, that's
definitely
a lot for an audience.
There's
going
to be a lot of songs that no one's ever heard before, so, like, the crowd participation's not going to be there.
Right. So while they don't anticipate rain, you know, shortening set lists, it is kind of nice to have something set tightened down so they put out their best material. And
absolutely.
I think that gives them their best performance. So that was great. And then Katie has become, my sister, has become a really, really big Skillet Panhead fan. So she loves Matt Maher. She loves Skillet. And we had a chance to actually run into Matt Maher and get a picture with him.
That's awesome.
Which was really cool. But Skillet was headlining Saturday night. And so Katie and Jackie were walking around and they were in line getting food. When someone in front of them was saying, "Hey, we're actually leaving. We have some passes for VIP backstage. Would you like it?" And so gave one to Katie, gave one to another person in line. And so Katie comes running over and goes, "I just got this badge to stand backstage during a Skillet set." So we gave her a little, you know, glow-in-the-dark wristband so we could see her backstage.
That's cool.
But she came back. She was freaking out because she said, right before their encore when they went off stage, John Cooper, the lead singer, actually walked up to the people hanging out backstage and was like, "Hey, how are you guys?"
That's really cool.
For a little bit. But you know, we've talked off the mic about Skillet, some things that we like about them, and some things
absolutely.
We think they could do better. I've seen Skillet a few times. That was the most open I've ever seen them about their faith.
That's awesome.
Which
was
cool.
The one thing that I always felt was that it was way more about the event. Mm-hmm. Like, it was more about the spectacle that they make their show.
Right.
Than it was about their music inviting people to have a relationship with Christ.
Right.
And I'm for the positive message. I'm for getting people, like, making your music a little more secular, so you're reaching out past the hardcore Christian music fans. I'm all for that. That's awesome. That's how you get your foot in the door and you wiggle in a little bit of a message, and then you get them. I just felt like at a Christian music festival, their show was too secular in the past. You know what I mean? Like, it was like, but we're here at a Christian music festival.
Right.
Why are you playing all of your secular music? You know?
Right.
That's happened in the past.
Right. And that discussion actually kind of was brought up during their set because they were playing their song Hero. And when they gave the introduction about, you know, we wrote this about our hero, Jesus, it kind of brought it all back home.
That's great.
John Cooper was saying how God's really opened up doors for the band because they do a lot of shows now over in Europe. And he said, we were doing one show and doing a radio interview with this guy who, there was a little bit of a language barrier, so he said, we're trying to explain things as well as possible. And so we said, he said, well, what's this song Hero about? He goes, well, it's about our hero, Jesus. And the guy goes, who's Jesus?
So what, just, what do you mean, who's Jesus?
Right, so it just, wow.
That Jesus.
Right, right, like, so they're talking about the one. It. And then the interviewer said, you mean Jesus of Nazareth? And wait, you're saying that he is God. So just being able to sit there with someone and piece that together. Yeah. He said, we didn't have that opportunity before, but now
that's
more
awesome.
Of those opportunities are coming up where we can share that message.
That's great. That's awesome. That really makes, like, I don't know, me feel good for the band. Like,
right.
Okay, so they're seeing this, and not, like, I never really had, like, a super negative feeling about Skillet. It was just that one time, the last time that I saw them at Soulfest, I was like, this is really, like, there's not a message here.
Right.
And they just kept, like, pyrotechnics, light show, spinning drum set.
Yeah.
Like, it just kept going, like, more and more over the top and over the top and over the top. And that just the like, uplifting Christian message wasn't there. But it sounds like it was this time.
Yeah.
So that's really cool.
Yeah.
Who else was there?
So we saw Matt Marr as well.
Yeah.
And where we actually ended up running into him, he was doing a little songwriter circle conference workshop thing.
Cool.
And he actually revealed that he has a Christmas Advent album coming out this October.
Sweet.
So he played a new song for us, and it was interesting because he was talking about how he went into writing the song, and it's called Love Came Down in Bethlehem.
Hmm.
And he said, I wanted to write it like a hymn, like a Christmas hymn. And he goes, Christmas hymns have rules. He goes, for example, they all start off with the name of the song. So, like, Silent Night, Joy to the World, stuff like that. So he's like, there were little things that I had to make sure that I followed.
Mm.
But it was cool to hear, because I had heard that he was working on something like this, but it's nice to know that.
That's really awesome.
That it is continuing through into this fall. So he was there. For King Country was there. Toby Mack was there, who's always fantastic.
Yeah, awesome. Any special guests at the Toby Mac set or anything like that?
No, but Rebecca St. James, for King Country's older sister, did a set there.
That's cool.
And that was like her first time. She had been doing a show in a while, and her first time on stage with her brothers in their own band, and that, because they used to sing backups for him.
Oh,
for her.
Yeah.
But now they're all on one stage together, and her husband was playing guitar for her. So.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, I saw a few pictures of Matt Marr. A friend of mine helps run the New Hampshire Youth Fest tent.
Okay.
And so that's where you get priests and confession and mass and all that. And so there was a picture of her with Matt Marr singing at one of the morning masses.
Yeah.
So that's really cool.
Yeah, we went to see him on mass at Saturday morning.
Cool.
And it was nice because the Inside Out tent used to be just a stage, you know, there wasn't any tent over it or anything, but it worked out that they do have a nice large tent
now,
canvas tent over it, especially with the rain that's been coming through.
Yep.
So we're in there singing hymns and everything and hearing the rain lightly fall on the tent. It was nice. It
that's
was
awesome.
Nice and relaxing.
Yeah. So I met her, the woman who was help running it. I met her up at Dave's last year, and, like, she was going right from the mission trip that I was helping run directly to Soulfest last year to help run it. And now I did not see her this year because the same group was not coming up the same weekend.
Yeah.
So I was not able to see them because, like, I can't take all the time off, you know.
Right.
So they came up. I think they're up there now, this week. I mean, they might be done for the week already. But that's a group that I've been with for a bunch of years. And just timing and stuff didn't work out this year. But, you know, it's a really cool group that comes up and does, like, mission work up in Vermont.
Yeah.
So it was cool to kind of, like, that just popped into my head that it had that last year.
Yeah.
So with Soulfest, did it seem like it was the same size, or what do you think, like, because I know that the number of vendors has been kind of down, and like the number of stages seems to have kind of changed or anything like that.
Yeah, I didn't notice that there were, it seemed like a smaller crowd this year. There were still about 10,000 that showed up.
I see, that's a lot. That's a lot of people. Do you think the rain played a...
I definitely think rain played a factor into it, and I wonder if it actually impacted their sales for people that showed up on you know, at the will call or at the ticket booth and buying tickets on the spot. Because in the years past, when they promote the upcoming next year's Soulfest, they normally have like maybe one or two or maybe even three artists confirmed. They haven't announced any names yet.
Wow.
Which is kind of interesting. So I'm not sure if they're still trying to track a few people down and trying to make last minute.
Yeah. Now, do they still do more than one event now? Because I know 2 years ago they started doing like a Soulfest in like October or a Soulfest in like...
They do a bunch of concerts throughout the year. They did. They used to have it where Soulfest was Wednesday through Saturday. They've cut back and now they do Thursday through Saturday. But they do have a kickoff concert on Wednesday night. So this year they had John Mark McMillan headlining the kickoff, and Jordan Feliz was opening.
Oh, cool! Yeah.
So yeah.
Well, and they normally get some really big, you know, Toby Mac,
right?
Marr, all that. So I was just curious. I was just curious because I know it's gone through some changes.
Yeah.
Where it just, it can also imagine if they're see if they're still doing a kickoff thing on Wednesday, renting the mountain must be incredibly expensive.
Well, I'm sure they're given a little bit of a discount because they're bringing in so many people into this, and they're also...
It's off-season for the mountain.
And the resort runs a bunch of facilities and games that people can have to buy tickets for. And, and so I'm sure they are making money off of the event.
Yeah.
So I'm sure there's a little deal that's worked out.
Oh, I'm sure. Absolutely. And the camping, you know, people camp out there, so they're renting sites or whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a definitely a mutual beneficial thing. And all the vendors that come there pay to be there too, so that's, you know, the iced tea guy who had
that's where my sister and my wife were like about every hour on the hour.
You buy a $10 cup and then pay $1 for refills.
Life. Yeah. As long as you have your cup, you get
the cup rusts of... though. I have two of the cups. I did try to bring one up last time. They will not replace the cup. I was like, can you replace this? This one's rusty. Yeah. And they're like, no. That's not how that works. I'm like, oh, I see the game now.
I think Jen's is right now sitting on the Keurig.
But yeah, I have a small collection of those metal mugs. So the other thing... did you have anything like new albums? I heard you talking about the Matt Maher one.
Yeah. So Matt Maher has a new one coming out. Also, just taking a look at last weekend, Phil Wickham released Living Hope, and that's getting a lot of praise. I was listening to that on Spotify, and it sounds really good.
Yeah, I stumbled across him like, I don't know, like 3 or 4 years ago, and looking for a song for like a opening prayer or sunrise prayer or something like that. And like his, it's like literally called Sunrise or something.
I think it's You're Beautiful.
You're Beautiful, and it has like the sunrise.
Because I remember us running that on Winter Retreat.
I'm like, wow, this guy's really good.
And he's our age.
Is he really?
Within our age range.
Wow, that's crazy. He's really good.
Yeah. So his album Living Hope came out last weekend. Coming out this weekend, Johnny Diaz has his new CD coming out called Sweetness and Sorrow. Katie Hurst, who is a new artist, and she's kind of like a Taylor Swift kind of style
mold
singer.
Yeah,
very poppy. Her album How Can I Be Silent comes out. And if you're into Christian hip hop, Derek Minor has a new CD coming out called The Trap. That's coming out tomorrow. And then later in August, Mark Schultz is releasing an album called Follow.
Cool. Awesome. There's a lot of stuff coming out.
Yeah, yeah. And then that's before all the Christmas releases start coming out next month.
You get the Matt Maher advent.
And Casting Crowns also just revealed the other day on Instagram that their next album is coming out this fall.
Awesome.
And they're coming to the Big E. I don't know if you saw that.
Oh, maybe.
They're coming to the Big E.
If we can bring a... actually, she might be like a year old at the time. Wow, it's crazy to think of. It's always going to be a year old in like a month. Also, the other thing that I forgot to mention about the peer minister training up at Dave's house, the movie that we watched up there was I Can Only Imagine, and that was the first time I had seen it. It's really good. It's unbelievably good. Like, just really, really well done.
Yeah.
You know? And I really like the perspective where, like, he's kind of, like, narrating the movie, and it's flashbacks and flash forwards and stuff like that, and the relationship with his dad and everything like that. And we broke it down the next day, and spoiler alert for people who haven't seen the movie, really, like, mature reflection of, like, some of the kids really felt bad for the father. Mm. Like, even though, so he's, like, an abusive father. That's the spoiler in the movie. I think it's in the description of it. But anyway, so you start to feel bad because, like, he starts trying, and the son won't forgive him. Right. And, like, in those moments, it's like, ah, come on. Like, you know, like, it's, you know, as someone who has seen, like, my dad change drastically from being, like, very angry, yelling all the time and stuff like that, to where he is now, like, people can change. You got to give them the opportunity. And you got to, like, you got to forgive, you know, for their sake, but also for your own, if you're carrying around that baggage and all that. But I was so, like... like, proud in that moment where, like, a young person was like, I just, like, felt really bad for the dad. Yeah, he was a monster. Yeah, all this stuff. Like, and it's like he's trying. Like, what can he do, you know, for the kid to say, like, well, God can forgive you, but I can't. Like, it's like a punch in the gut. Like, he's trying.
I know.
But, yeah, so, like, it's just a really well-done movie. If you haven't seen it, you should definitely go see it. Like,
and I worked with the guy who helped send that song out to radio.
Mm.
And so he ended up bringing his youth group to the movie when it came out
theaters.
And I ended up texting him later on and said, hey, what did you think about the movie? He goes, it was a weird trip down memory lane.
Yeah.
So he didn't necessarily know the background of Bart Millard.
Yeah.
But the whole music industry side of it is like, that was pretty accurate. And I love the woman who played Amy Grant and how very close she looked to Amy Grant in real life.
And the fact that, like, that's a thing that I didn't know, is that they were shopping it as a song that she was going to buy.
Spoiler alert.
From him. It's one of those things that you don't know.
Yeah.
And so you see it in the movie and you're like, so what's going to happen here? You know? Yeah. And so, like, the way that it turns out is really awesome. And, like, I'm like, I called it. I was watching the movie and Brett had seen it like a week before and he's like, dude, you got to watch this.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, she's going to do this and it's going to be this awesome moment.
Yeah.
And that's what happens. But, but yeah, it's just, you know, it's a really good song. And if you don't, you don't really realize, like, okay, so yeah, it's like, what is it going to be like when I'm in heaven and I see Jesus? Like, what's going to happen there? But you never really knew, like, the true story behind it and why that song only took him 10 minutes to write.
And they don't have this part in the movie, but Bart did talk about it in an interview, I think, where he said when his dad started to change, he ended up saying to him at one point, you know, if I had the option of either being here with you or up in heaven with Jesus, I'd pick heaven with Jesus.
Yeah.
And Bart said, that was a really hurtful thing to hear, but now I understand.
Yeah.
You know, like, in the moment when you're told by your dad, it's really, really hurtful. But he goes, it's the older I get, the more I realize I don't have to wait much longer.
And
it's a day that I really do look forward to.
And that's a strange thing. That's really interesting because of our gospel reading today. So I'll be able to reflect on it a little bit more in a little bit. But that moment when you realize, like, this, where we are right now is not the goal.
Right.
The goal is heaven. And, like, my life mission as a husband and a father is to get my family to heaven. Mm-hmm. And I need to do that. Like, that is my mission. That is to get my wife and my daughter to heaven, and to try to do it as best as I can. Be the best husband I can be, the best father I can be. It is not about me. It is not about, like, what we have here on earth. Like, life is not meant to be easy. So that actually does bring us to our gospel reading. So
sweet.
Bring out my phone bibble.
Your electronic bibble.
All right, here we go. So it is, those of you who like to read along, it is John 12, 24 through 26. Jesus said to his disciples, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it. Whoever hates his life in this world will preserve it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and wherever I am, there also will my servant be. The Father will honor whoever serves me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, it's just awesome transition from one thing to the other. but basically, you know, that if you love this life, if you value this life too much, you could lose heaven.
Right.
You know? And that's where it's like, you're going to lose it. You're going to lose your life. Those of you who hate this life, or for a better way to, like, not a better way to put it, but a different way to look at it, is those of you who struggle in this life and you value heaven over this life. Right. Meaning that you should hate this life if you know how perfect heaven is, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so that's where it's set, like, those of you who hate being here and can't wait to get to heaven, live this life valuing heaven, not valuing this life, is the way that I take it.
And also you look at the line where it says, but if it dies, it produces much fruit.
Yeah.
You know, and it's kind of like the saints of the day that we normally look at when they're martyred for their faith.
Yep.
When they're living for their faith till their death.
Yep.
You see how much fruit it produces.
Yeah, and you look at what can come from that, and what comes from the way that they live their life. And when you look at, why am I drawing a blank on the name? But the saint who visited women of the night, who visited prostitutes and bought their time so that they could live a night without sin. Mm-hmm. And he was murdered because some guy didn't know what he was doing. Mm-hmm. But in his death, all these women came to his funeral to say that he had changed their lives. Mm. And it bore so much fruit that some of those women became religious. Mm. They became sisters. You know, like, they're nuns because of this one priest who said, "I'm going to become a custodian. I'm going to sweep and mop floors and use that money to buy a woman's night so that she can spend a night without sin, that she can sleep, she may rest while I read scripture to her." What?
Yeah.
But again, that's the goal, trying to get people to heaven. Mm-hmm. Your mission as a priest is to share the love of Christ. And the love of Christ, that eternal life, that perfection in heaven, is what we're striving for. Like, that's it. That's the goal. And so, just to say, like, you shouldn't value this over anything else. And your goal should be your mission, right? So our saint of the day, Saint Desdudet, D-E-U-S-D-E-D-I-T. Yep.
Okay.
So he was a simple shoemaker. That's what he did. Hmm. But he gave away his weekly earnings to the poor. And word of this got to Pope Gregory, who is now Saint Gregory the Great. But Pope Gregory, at the time of this man's death, had heard the stories of this simple shoemaker making such a difference for the poor. All of his weekly earnings he would give away to the poor. How did this man live? He would work tirelessly repairing shoes and making shoes for people. And whatever money he made, he gave away.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I give of my time as much as I can, but I cannot imagine giving everything away.
Yeah.
You know? And that's just this man did. And that's why he's a saint.
Amen.
It's guaranteed to be in heaven, right?
Like, absolutely.
Cause we know it because he's been canonized a saint, but come on.
Yeah,
like, that's why, you know, there's a lot of different saints' feast days, and there's a lot of different saints that have today as their feast day. Mm-hmm. And I saw this story and was like, yeah, that's it. That's the one. Because just a simple man doing a simple thing, making huge changes in a community. Mm-hmm. And completely selfless.
Yeah.
You know? It's just an amazing...
Fixing shoes and...
Yeah.
You know how he made it by? He held his tongue.
Worst jokes. I love how you're still working on your dad jokes.
Yeah. Jen's like, what are you going to be like when we have kids?
This.
Yeah. It's going to be bad.
He's just preparing. He's got the dad jokes ready.
Yep, exactly. I follow a dad jokes Instagram account, and it's perfect.
All right, so news of the weird.
So apparently Google Translate is predicting doomsday. Did you hear about this?
No.
So apparently, you know, these people have found out, users have found out that if you type in the word dog 18 times into Google Translate, in selecting the input language as Maori, you end up receiving the message, Doomsday clock is 3 minutes at 12. We are experiencing characters and dramatic developments in the world, which indicate that we are increasingly approaching the end of times and Jesus' return.
What?
And no one's quite sure why it's saying that.
I mean, someone had to put it in there, right?
Well, Google is saying that if you put in gibberish into the system, you'll get gibberish back. However, that seems pretty specific.
And that's way more than gibberish.
Right. But at the same time, I kind of take whatever I get from Google Translate with a grain of salt.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, and the Bible says we will never know the time or date.
No.
So
yeah, I'm pretty sure Jesus doesn't speak through Google
Translate.
But that's...
Could you imagine getting that message, though?
Yeah. Well,
like, all of a sudden it just says, Doomsday clock is 3 minutes to midnight.
But who's typing dog in 18 times?
Someone who has enough time on their hands to also look up the language Maori.
Yeah, where's that from?
I'm going to check right now. The music's going to start, but I'm looking it up right now.
But, yeah, so...
New Zealand.
Oh, okay. So someone...
It's an indigenous Polynesian people of New Zealand.
So they wanted to know how to say dog 18 times in a row, and it said the doomsday clock is ticking.
Yeah, they got that instead.
For Jesus' return.
Well, you know, Lord of the Rings was filmed in New Zealand, so that must say, Sauron's coming back.
That music means it's time to wrap up the podcast. Those of you who watch us live on Facebook or watch this video later, the audio is much better on our website, baconsmiles.org/podcast. Subscribe on iTunes. Shoot me an email. You can find the link on the website. Thanks for listening. Seriously, awesome. I love the support. Hit us up, Instagram, Facebook, all that stuff. But as always, thanks for listening. I'm Steve Patera.
And it's Sean Mumford.
Keep smiling, and God bless.